We turn our focus, though, back to the footy, and four clubs left, two ripper games, I think, coming our way this weekend, and then we'll know our grand finalists. We've spoken about the pressure that the players are under. Obviously, the coaches are under, and I'm getting plenty of great texts coming through with my word association game. But what about the referees? Now, they're always under pressure, so I just wonder how much that ramps up when we get to finals. Gavin Badger, former NRL ref, of course, and a great friend of this show, is always good with his time. Morning to you, Badge, and I appreciate your time as we head into finals. So as a footy fan, first of all, before we get into the nitty-gritty of being a referee at this time, what did you make of last weekend, two very different games, and the weekend that we've got ahead of us and the possible outcome for grand final week 2 weeks down the track?
Yeah, it was an outstanding weekend of footy. And for me, the two games probably swapped around what I thought may have happened. I thought, you know, the first game might have been a bit closer and the second game might have blown out a bit. But yeah, the Parramatta Penrith game is one of the best games I've seen in a long time. So I hope that continues this weekend.
It's funny, isn't it? We've got so used to this year, mate. I think, you know, the blowouts and the spectacular tries and the incredible put downs from wingers and the pinpoint accuracy of the kicks and the over and over six again restart and fatigue coming in. I mean, it's been a crazy year, and then we get that 8-6 grinded out, nitty gritty, fight it out to the very end game, and people forget how good a game like that can be. What's a game like that when you're in the middle, when you know it's just going to be knock them down, drag them out?
It's quite intense, actually, because you know that every little... When it's that tight, every little decision you make is going to have an impact on the result. Yeah. So you are right on edge and making sure, you know, trying to be at your best. And to me, you know, it proves that we don't need blowout scorelines. We don't need 8 tries in a game to have an outstanding game of rugby league. We need that battle of attrition and, you know, those teams, you know, working on defence. Just because tries aren't scored doesn't mean the attack hasn't been great. It just means that the defence is matching up with it. And that's what I love watching. I love watching teams slide across. And there's a couple of really good options where, you know, there was one where Blake Ferguson did perfectly well on an edge to make sure that he sort of rushed up, but then rushed up quick enough that the ball had to be thrown over and to give him time to then have Gutho come across, and they made a great tackle on the corner. It just shows that, you know, and the attack was great. It was just that the defence matched it. And I love that kind of footy.
Yeah, it was an extraordinary game, and it sets up some mouthwatering matchups for this weekend. We know that players treat, view, look, train, play differently when it comes to finals footy, because that's what you got to do. And in many cases, you're one loss away from going out the back door. What about from the referee's position? Do you feel the intensity lift in that scenario when you get to the back end of the year?
Yeah, and as a squad, the referees, they lift as well. It's like exactly like a player, because you want to be there for the big games and you want to be there when it comes grand final. That's the ultimate goal, you know, at the beginning of every season for a referee, to, you know, be around at this time of year and referee in a grand final. So you're really hoping that you're in your best form and that, you know, that you can add to the game as well. But referees, you know, are all fans of the game. You know, you don't start refereeing because you want to be a referee. You start refereeing because you've been involved in the game, and either you weren't a good player, injuries or whatever, but you love the game and you want to stay involved. So first and foremost, you just want to go out there and not make any mistakes and allow the players to play to the best of their ability and the right team win. So, yeah, it is quite an intense time of year for referees and those that are still involved in refereeing at this time.
Can I get your thoughts, Gav, on the trainers stopping play? It's obviously been highlighted. It's been there all year, and it will continue to be there. Can you talk us through how you see it playing out, and what is a possible better outcome where we don't have matches being stopped by, you know, people going down either injured or maybe not, away from the play the ball?
Yeah, it's a tough one, because I've been on the end of... I actually got dropped a couple of years ago in Townsville. The Cowboys played, was it Cowboys in Melbourne? And Nana McDonald broke his ankle. And we were under the current rules, what everyone's sort of saying they want it to be. You know, if they're out the back, let them go. This player was 60 metres out the back, and we continued to play. And then we found out he had a broken ankle. And then, you know, all of the media and it was, why didn't the referee stop the game? You know, it was obvious he had a broken ankle. We were 60 metres away. We had no idea what was happening, but we suffered the consequences for that, for not stopping the game. And the rules were as they are now. The trainer has to go to the referee or the touch judge and let them know that they need the game to be stopped. Off the back of some of that stuff, they, you know, they've now said that the trainer has to assess or whatever. But the hard part is that if there's a legitimate injury, we need the games, especially now, we've got to look after the players, now, especially when it comes to concussion and stuff like that. So we are in a tough spot as a game as to what, you know, what's best for the game or what's best for the individual player. So it is a tough one. I think the system we've got now generally works, but like anything we have, you know, coaches are going to try and work that to the best of their advantage. And for the one or two times, and unfortunately it happened in a big game at a big stage of the game, but for me, for the one or two times that it happens where, you know, it may have some impact compared to the amount of other times it happens where we need the game stopped, I'm not sure if we need to change it or not. I think it's in a decent sort of spot. It's just about, okay, coaches not manipulating it to their advantage.
It's going to be interesting, mate, I think, to see what the NRL does at the end of the year here to sit down. I mean, they've got a lot on their plate to sit down and have a look at various issues across the year, and it's been that kind of year where sometimes things have worked and sometimes they haven't. So I guess what I'm trying to think of is, in this situation, for instance, they're going to have to look at it because it has become an issue, whether or not, say, in your opinion, it needs, you know, massive restructuring or an overhaul, you're not sure. I just wonder who you get at the table to try and sort that one out. I mean, do you get trainers at the table? Do you get coaches at the table? Do you get refs at the table? You never get an answer.
Yeah, and because every person's got a different opinion on it, and every person's got more, something to lose. Like, the referees are in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. And like I said, I bore the brunt of that twice in 1 year and ended up refereeing reserve grade because we didn't stop the game because we wanted the game to flow. And then, the flip side of that is to stop the game every time someone's down, which, you know, I think the reason why our game's so good is because we don't stop it, you know what I mean? And it's the free-flowing nature of rugby league, so I'd be more for less stoppages, but I'm also a fan of making sure we protect our players. So, yeah, don't get me at the table.
Yeah. Can I get your thoughts on... I've raised some sort of word association around the four coaches that are left, because you look at the coaches that we've got, mate. We've got Des Hasler, you know, the mad scientist, Wayne Bennett, the master, Craig Bellamy, the super coach, Ivan Cleary, cool and calm. When you see what goes on in the press conferences and what goes on outside of the box, obviously you've been in the box a lot this year, what do you make of that as a fan of the game and the theatre outside? Does it captivate you, or is it you've seen it all before?
Oh, I love it. I sit up and watch the press conferences after games, especially when there's some controversy in it, because I know what's coming. I've spoken to coaches in the past, just at different social functions or just having a beer with a coach, and spoken about that stuff. And there's plenty of different reasons why they do it and how they do it. And I had a coach so honest with me, said, you know what? If I'm under the pump and my job's under the pump, I'm going in attacking you guys. He goes, because if I attack you guys, then the sponsors and the board, they start to go, oh, yeah, it was the referee's fault. It's not the coach's fault. And, you know, he said, and that's just what I've got to do to keep my job. He goes, internally, I then rip into the players and say it wasn't good enough. He said, but it creates theatre, it creates discussion, and people talk about the press conference, not the game. And so, you know, the coaches are very smart, and they've been around for a long time, and they know how to get the best out of, you know, what they need out of a press conference. And, yeah, I love the theatre of it. I really do.
Well, I take my hat off to the coach that at least said that to you, because everyone knows that there's different agendas at play there. But if they're good enough to say to you, mate, this is what I've got to do, so it's coming, then at least you know it. Can I get your thoughts then on who makes the grand final? So Friday, we've got the Bunnies versus Manly, and then Saturday, Storm v Panthers. A lot of people are finding it difficult to work their way through Friday night, not so much Saturday afternoon. Who do you think makes it through?
Yeah, I'm probably pretty much along the same lines. I think South, and it's probably more heart than head with South. I'm a local South junior. I played all my footy there and some junior rep footy there, and I've got a strong connection with that club, even though I didn't grow up a fan of South. I know a lot of people there, and I've got connections to a few players there. So it's South for me in that one, and I think it'll be tight. I think it'll be really tight. You know, it's that containing Tommy. If you can contain Tommy, you're a fair chance of, you know, getting a win there. And I think, Penrith a bit bashed around a bit, and I think last week might take a bit out of them. And it's a shame, because I've loved the style of footy that Penrith have played all year, that young, free-flowing, you know, sort of just throw the ball around and let's attack. I think Melbourne will be too strong for them. So I think it's a South Melbourne grand final.
Yeah, a lot of people are heading that way. I obviously tend to disagree, given that I'm a Manly man, so I'm more interested in Friday night. But, mouth-watering matches. Good on you, mate. Enjoy the rest of the finals.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate your time this morning, Gavin Badger, with some great takes there. And it will be interesting, isn't it? I mean, if we do need to sit down and stop the trainers stopping play, if it does get to the out-of-hand scenario, I'd love to know how you fix it and who you invite to the table. It can't be something that the NRL just mandates, rubber stamps and sends off, because without getting buy-in from everyone, but in this position in particular, the buy-in's going to be poles apart, from coaches to refs to officials to fans to opposition coaches. You'll be going around and around in circles. Great to get Badger's thoughts this morning. 0457 736 736. So give me your word association. If I throw at you the names of the four remaining coaches, what comes to mind? What comes to mind for Des Hasler? What about Craig Bellamy, Wayne Bennett, or Ivan Cleary? Three out of the four have won premierships. 0457 736 736 is the text line, or give us a call 1300 01 1170. It's 21 minutes after 10.